Financial Survival Network, helping you to survive and thrive in the new economy. Get our complimentary newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. This is the Financial Survival Network.
You are listening to the financialsurvivalnetwork.com. I'm Kerry Lutz on 1590 WPSL. It is June 6th, 2013. It's time to do a market review. Check out where the indices went in May. The person who's best situated to do it is Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist. Hello, Mickey. How are your travels going?
We're doing well. We're doing a road trip down the west coast of the United States in my recently purchased 1993 Lincoln Town Car with only 80,000 miles on it. So it's a boat, and when you get it up to about 100 miles an hour, it really starts to cruise well.
Yeah, the thing that always amazed me about the old Lincolns is road noise. There just isn't any, and understeer, because you turn the wheel and it takes about 30 seconds to respond, but the perfect boat for the kind of trip you're on, for sure. So, and the markets, I mean, the stock markets have been the place to be for the past 6 months, right?
Well, they certainly have, and the Dow and the S&P 500 again hit record levels, up 2% for the month. Bernanke continues to successfully game the equity markets, and certainly somebody's making money. The high-frequency traders successfully gambling in a rigged casino there. The NASDAQ and Russell 2000 were the big performers for the month. So this is a very broad-based bull market, up 4%. Toronto Venture was up 1.5%. Toronto Stock Exchange up 1.5% over the month, and that's what they're up for the year. The Venture Exchange, on the other hand, is finally stabilized at about 960, but these are levels not seen since the fall of 2002, back when gold was $320 an ounce. The emerging market index was down 4%. That's probably tied to the slowdown of growth in China.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And I guess, yeah, high-frequency trading and liquidity-driven, because all those freshly minted units of fiat currency need to find a home. And if you're borrowing them for zero and you can go buy stocks, it just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and it's essentially a carry trade, and we'll talk a little bit more about carry trade with the metals here. Gold and silver, once again, we had a major correction. This was no doubt manipulated, as it occurred overnight when only a small market, the New York Globex, was open. But gold finished down over 5% for the month. Silver was a big loser at 7.6%. On the other hand, platinum, because of this supply deficit that we're seeing in the platinoids, platinum was down 3.2%. However, because palladium is used mainly in automobiles and gasoline motors and not diesel motors, there is a much more looming shortage for palladium. It was up a whopping 6.4% for the month, and it did not suffer this correction that we referred to in the other three metals that occurred near the beginning of the month. So platinum's chart over the last 60 days shows the first correction, but the second correction, it just continued to on its bullish run. And that's reflected in the ratios too. Gold-silver ratio up to 62. Platinum to gold is well over 1 now, and that's normal. But the platinum-palladium ratio is now less than 2. At 1.96 for at the end of the month. That has not been achieved since October of 2002, so 11 years since the platinum-palladium ratio was less than 2. Meanwhile, copper made a rally up 3.4% over the month. On the negative side for copper, we have slowing growth, and we have a carry trade in copper going on right now with zero interest rates and warehouse arbitrages. So that's probably negative for copper, but on the other hand, we have had two severe supply disruptions over the last few weeks. First was the slide at Bingham Canyon. We talked about that last month.
Right.
Takes the world's 11th largest copper mine offline for an undetermined amount of time. But also what happened recently was there was a mine collapse at Grasberg, killed 28 underground miners. The Indonesian government has essentially declared force majeure, shut that mine down, and we do not know when it will come back online. It is the world's second largest copper producer. So on an annualized basis, that is, between those two mines, is about 5% of annual world copper supply. So the analysts who do all these yearly projections, they bake in an annual supply disruption of 4%, and it looks like we are at that level right now. So that's bullish for copper and probably the reason that copper remains strong.
Hey, and Mickey, I wanted to go over an occurrence that happened in the silver market last month. A so-called flash crash, which you more or less alluded to, but where silver went down under $21. Did it hit 20? It really got nailed. And just amazing the way these flash crashes can happen. Obviously a trader with a fat thumb, right?
Well, in this case, no. This was our obvious market manipulation. It occurred during the night. When only the Globex was open, it was before Hong Kong opened, it was before Sydney opened. It is very obvious that somebody manipulated both the gold and silver markets in a time of very light trading and came in and started selling a massive amount of precious metals, which drove the price down, which triggered stop losses, and then as it got driven down to these lows, gold hit something around 1320. Silver went into the $20 range. Then the traders, and it likely was the same trader, came back in and started buying it at depressed prices. And you notice it was a parabolic spike. What we would call a negative parabola. Parabolas can be both positive and negative.
Sure.
So we had the downward spike and then the immediate bounce up. And so we find the precious metals basically back where they started from. So,
and somebody making money off of it, right?
Absolutely.
Making money on the down. And then making it back on the up, if only I were so talented as a trader.
Well, and if you had the financial wherewithal to manipulate a market, you know, these are big boys playing these games.
That's for sure. And, you know, to the casual observer, you look at the price of silver before the flash crash, and then you look at it at the end of the day when the effects of it wore off, and you say, gee, silver didn't do anything. No action in this market.
Yeah, well, there's winners and there's losers, Kerry.
Yeah, that's for sure. And but on the other hand, and we don't really talk about the physical markets that much, but you've definitely seen a pickup in demand in the physical markets. Every bullion guy I talk to and distributors, wholesalers, all saying that the demand for physical, at least for last month when prices really, really hit bottom, perhaps, all increasing.
Well, physical demand remains strong, particularly in Asia. And I actually know a couple of small miners that are looking at selling their gold, physically selling their gold in Asia right now to capture those premiums over the spot price they get from refineries. So you put in a small refinery at your gold mine and mint some coins and go sell them in Asia.
Yeah, they're going for spot plus in Asia on the market. So that tells you something about these paper markets as opposed to the Asian markets, which definitely appear, at least at this point, to be more physically oriented towards smaller people buying metals there for delivery. So I think the perhaps the decoupling that everybody's been claiming is going to happen, maybe it's really happening. But I remain the skeptic till I see proof otherwise, you know? Because everybody's talking their book when you get down to it, right? And
no, we all talk our books. That's what we get paid to do. So
yeah,
the energy fluids, WTI and Brent were both down about 2% over the month, but still at high levels. Brent at $100, WTI a little less than 92. Henry Hub gas finally came off a bit, but that's to be expected. This is a seasonal low demand for natural gas after the heating season, and it was driven the rise certainly partially driven by a very cold spring in the Northeast U.S. So gas was down a bit, 8.5%, closed the month at $3.98. WTI to Brent ratio, or I should say Brent to WTI ratio, at 1.1. That's held for about the last 3 months. WTI to Henry Hub ratio, 23, up a bit. In the uranium market, continuing weakness, there basically is no short-term demand, and that affects the spot price. It closed the month down a little, almost 1% at $40.33.
Hey, and did you see the huge demonstrations in Tokyo about ever reopening a nuclear reactor in the country? The people are just, they don't care about the deficit. They don't care about,
they're going to reopen mid-July is the decision date. It's fully expected that the ones that are not on fault lines and have made their safety upgrades will be slowly permitted to open again. There's the Japanese election right now. Everybody's trying to keep this quiet, but the Japanese cannot afford to put out $100 million a day in added energy costs. I think we've seen that with the effects of that with their massive quantitative easing. We look for some strength to come back in the uranium market as these Japanese reactors come online. And that ties in directly to dollar index. It was well over 84 for a significant part of the month. And that basically is a stronger dollar because of a weaker yen. Closed the month at a little bit over 83. And that is by far the highest we have seen since we started doing this show, in January of 2012. And the euro was basically flat, dollar to euro ratio at 1.3. So what else is new there?
Yeah, not much.
Two currencies, yeah. Two fiat currencies, three fiat currencies that are in a race to devalue right now.
You know what it's like, those currencies, if you ever throw, you see those penny wells, and you spin the penny around, and it kind of goes in circles for a while, and eventually it falls down the drain. Picture three pennies, the euro, the dollar, and the yen, all circling around that drain and trading leadership positions, getting closer to that drain. And there you have the state of fiat currencies in the world today. And the last time the dollar even got near this high was May 31st of 2012. It closed at 83.04, 83.15. So it looks like, from a cyclical standpoint, it hit another peak. Where it goes from here, anybody's guess, but certainly the state of the world's fiat currencies, not very heartening, to say the least.
No, that's true, Carrie, but it is what it is, and we will learn to live with it. So,
yeah, you're right.
And make money at it.
Hey, and one other point that we talked about, and that the internet has been ablaze about, is all of a sudden the COMEX decided to add a disclaimer to their inventory reports that they're not sure if they're correct. They're their best, we think it's correct, we hope it's correct, but don't sue us if it's not. And why it comes up at this point is really the question, for which I have no answer, and I don't think anybody does. Probably some lawyer woke up one day and said, these reports are total BS. We better put a disclaimer in there or we're going to get sued.
Well, that could be. You would expect that they've been leasing out their gold, so duh.
Yeah.
And so, like with anything, we are given a paradigm, and we need to figure out how to trade within that paradigm to make money.
Yeah, and we don't really talk about COMEX inventories, but for gold and silver, way, way down, like 50% over the past 6-8 months, I think. I don't know if it means anything or not, but it's just another fact that probably should be looked at when you're figuring what to do.
Yeah, well, I don't have any gold stored on COMEX, and I don't intend to buy any precious metal bars and take delivery anytime in the near future. So, keep physical in your physical possession, and then it's only that has to be responsible for it and worry about it.
Exactly, and you're not planning to book passage on the Titanic anytime soon, across the mid-Atlantic there to get to England either. So, certain things for individual investors makes no sense to do, and certainly the COMEX really is a good place to stay away from, in my opinion. So, anyway, Mickey, you enjoy the rest of your trip there, and make sure the air conditioning, the Freon, is well fed on that big beast, that land beast you have there, and enjoy the rest of your trip.
Well, we're going to, and where we are right now, we need heat, not air conditioning, but we will be crossing the desert at some point. And, so we're going to Disneyland.
All right. Well, hey, have fun in Disney. We will see you in Dallas at the end of the month at the Liberty Mastermind Symposium, libertymastermind.us. Sign up now. Mickey's got a lot to say. All right, Mickey, you be well.
Okay, you too, Carrie, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing you at the show in Dallas at the end of the month.
All right, be well.
All right, thanks, bye.